this was my identity.
Nobody talks about how freaking hard it is to be a dentist. What most people talk about is how this affects the patient. What nobody talks about is how this affects us. Dentistry is ready for this. Now is really the time.
Welcome to Wellness in Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Martin Mendelson. I'm a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, thought leader, and author. And I'm joined by my very good friend and co-host, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who is a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And if you're unfamiliar with us, we'd invite you to check out our respective links, websites, and course offerings in the links included in this episode. And if you like what you hear and you want to hang out with us, because we're lots of fun, we have our in-person mental wellness course, Lightside Live, being hosted at Glidewell Dental Laboratory in Irvine, California, just across the street from the airport in Orange County, this coming May 9th and 10th of 2025. And so today, what we're going to be talking about, bonus structures, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, Kyle, hello. What do you think about this topic?
Oh, gosh. I have a lot of pain around this topic, Martin. It's bringing me back to some hard lessons I had to learn. And when I figured this out was when I was at my darkest point with burnout too. So it's like, it's all jumbled together for me. But really, I think the challenging part for me was that we bought a practice. Okay. So the practice that we bought had been there for 60 years.
Oh, wow.
We are the third owners. Okay. So the previous owner, who is now our partner, had been there for 28 years or something like that, a long time, right? Now, there were great things about that and there were bad things about that. Great things about buying a practice is, of course, patient base, reputation already, cash flow. There's so many things about that are great about buying a practice. I would recommend people buy a practice. I think it's easier. The challenges that come with it is change management. So it is changing, updating technology. It is maybe changing staff. It is changing behavioral patterns of patients or assistants. And, you know, for our practice, we changed a lot. Now, we did it over multiple years, but we changed things like how we collect money. We brought in a lot of technology. We brought in specialty services that weren't being done before. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, like the time of how long our hygiene was. And so we came in when they didn't take a lunch break, which is not legal, actually. We wanted to be compliant. So we started lunch breaks and that caused a problem with staff too, right? But on this topic of bonus structure is that we had some employees that had been there for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And they had been in this recurring experience of getting a certain bonus.
Yeah.
And so when we came in, the first few years was just, okay, we're just going to do that because that was what's always been done. Now, once we got our hand and our eyes and our brains around what was happening in the business, we kind of said, this bonus structure doesn't really make sense. And then one time I remember, and I still, again, have so much pain and almost rage about this, is that some of the staff members came up and said, when are we getting our new bonus? And it better be the same that we got last year.
Is that what they said? It better be the same?
Paraphrasing, but basically, kind of like threatening us, right?
Yeah, this is what drives me crazy.
Or I hope that it's the same as I've always gotten.
Yeah.
And I kind of lost my shit.
Mm.
One, because I was very deep in burnout. So I was very active. I wasn't eating well. I wasn't drinking water. I wasn't sleeping well, right? I was having so much stress. But two, just the gall of somebody to say that to me.
Yeah.
that's kind of my story. But what, first of all, what do you think of that?
So this kind of started between you and I chatting wise, because of the year-end chatter on Dental Nachos. I love Dental Nachos. I'm a proud sponsor of theirs. I love what Dr. Paul Goodman and his team are doing. And I thought it was really quite interesting because there were so many people asking for help. And I'm really glad that they were, because honestly, there's not many places on the internet that are as safe as Dental Nachos, which is why I'm a sponsor. But there were all these questions about what do I do for year-end bonusing? What do I do with my team? There was also posting from the other side relative
From
to,
the team or hygienist.
where we got X last year, but we got Y this year. Should I be disappointed? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And do you know what any and all of those posts told me instantaneously? What do you think it told me?
I think that it told you that nobody planned and set expectations for what the bonus should be.
Bingo, 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 bingo. And so, look, when we end up ha not having a defined structure, this is what can create entitlement on any topic. It's not just bonusing, it could be anything, right? And so I've mentioned this before, and I'm a huge fan of this. You know, I was a full-time employee of Spear Education for many years, and we had a two-prong, I like to call it reward compensation type of structure. It was quantitative and qualitative. And so what that means is the quantitative was all about KPIs. Did the business meet its objectives? Yes or no? And how did you fit into that? And therefore, what were the tiers associated with meeting X, Y, or Z? The qualitative part was around how you as an employee interacted with the organization. And now, granted, that was weighted less heavily than the KPI stuff. Which should make some sense because the KPI stuff dictates, like, is the money in the bank for you to be able to give the bonus? And this addresses a problem in any business, but particularly a smaller business like a dental practice. If you've been killing it and I hate the word but I'm going to use it here, but Susie or Johnny is late to work, they kind of have an attitude, et cetera, et cetera. Guess what? They're going to get less than the other Susie or Johnny that is really contributing toward those KPIs. So I have some additional thoughts, but let's stop there. What do you think about
I like that what how Spear talked about bonuses, and other people do this too,
Yeah.
is objective and subjective.
Absolutely.
I really love that because bonuses shouldn't be expected.
Nope.
Like if the business has a downturn and you're still
Yeah.
paid your salary,
Yeah, absolutely.
you can't expect to get something extra,
Yeah.
right?
And I will also say this, you know, transparency builds trust. And I'm not sitting here saying that you need to, you know, unbutton your shirt, as the phrase goes, and share your entire P&L. If you choose to do that, great. Okay, fine. I'm not saying
I know some people that do.
I know some people that do, and I'm not sitting here saying I'm in favor of either. But what I will say is this. If the only time of year you share where you are according to the plan is at the end of the year for bonus time, that's going to sow seeds of doubt. And so, at the very least, we need to be talking about how the practice is doing per quarter. I mentioned this earlier. There was a documentary with Anderson Cooper on one of the streaming services about a restaurant in Portland, Oregon, that gave its employees equity. We did a whole episode on equity, which got a lot of interesting chatter on social media. But anyway, but the point is that they share their entire P&L. Why? So that the employees understand how they're doing revenue versus expense. So, you know, we can't make this a surprise and take that however you want to take it. The other thing I want to say, which you and I agreed to make sure we say at some point here is, this has all got to be documented, and it's all got to be documented according to legality, regulation, et cetera. So there's lots of wonderful people out there that can help you with it. We've talked about our friends at Bent Erickson before. There are other companies that can help you. But please, 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 please make sure this is documented with signatures, so that there's no confusion. So.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny is I was just talking to one of my colleagues that I worked with at Pearl, who works for a different company, and he was saying something about how any job, don't ask for a raise once you've been working super hard, because basically what you want to do is when you start, you say, what will it take for me to advance? And
Oh,
that
I
could
love
be
that.
bonus structure or whatever. So you're setting that now, and then they, meaning, you know, top down, would say, this is what we expect from you. If this, then this, right? If you do this, then there's this bonus structure, there's this equity structure, there's this incentive, whatever. But not wait till the end and then say, what do I need to do to get the bonus? Because nothing's been established yet. There's been no expectations explained on either side. And I love that. And that's exactly what you're saying here, too, is say, whether you start when the person is hired or when you do it every year at the beginning of the year, whatever it may be, or the end of the busy season or however it is. I know like oral surgeons are super busy in the summer and you know over Christmas and Easter and those areas because that's when kids get their wisdom teeth out, right? But do it whenever you want, but set those expectations and remind your team quarterly about this. You and I have talked about this before. Having meetings quarterly,
At
at
least I
least,
prefer weekly, but okay.
yeah, with your team to go over this. So let's say we start in January and then we go in March and we say, hey, remember in January we talked about this. How are we doing? Okay, it looks like the practice is doing well. Here's where I'd like you to improve. Here's why I like what you're doing. And you're setting that up so that think of your last quarterly meeting, whether it's, let's say, October. You're going to have your final quarter year-end meeting and you're going to talk about bonuses. They should come in knowing exactly what they're getting. Or at
Oh, a
least, you
hundred
know, oh,
percent.
when the month ends, we're almost there, so I'll probably get around this month.
And I have another layer to talk about that, but I want to tell a story first. I don't think I've ever told you this story. So, and you made me think of it because when you said, make sure the when your friend went and applied for the job and said, what's it going to take? So I started in dental practices at 16 years of age. When I was 15, I worked at McDonald's, or maybe it was 17, and when I was 16, I worked at McDonald's. So I got this job at my friend Amy's uncle's dental practice, Dr. Mendlinger, may he rest in peace. And in fact, that dentistry book over there, I got when I graduated from dental school. It's signed on there. It means a lot to me. But
Oh,
anyway,
cool.
so his wife was the office manager, Wendy, and we had discussions that they were paying me less than I was making at McDonald's. So they were basically paying minimum wage and McDonald's was paying more. And Wendy said to me, if you feel, she must have said within the first week, because I'll tell you what I did in a second. She said, if you feel this is going well, then we can have a discussion about more money. So at the end of the first week, it couldn't have gone better. It went extraordinarily well. And so you know what I did at the end of the first week? I marched right in there and I said, so we talked about the fact that if things are going well, we could come up and match what I was making at McDonald's. And they did. Now, the funnier part of this story is the conversation about if it's going well, you can come to me for more money was like in April. And my first like full week was in June. So Wendy told me years later that she couldn't believe that A, I remember it, and B, I had the you know what's as a 16-year-old kid to do it. And
Good
she
for you.
goes, she said, I gave it to you mainly because you had the you know what's to do
Yeah.
it. But I want to put another layer here because the other category of question that I saw year end was about what do I do with my team? And I've had some thoughts around this because the conversation
And you're
was,
talking about a holiday party
like party
or a
stuff.
dinner or whatever. Yeah.
And so to me, call me crazy, this can, and I'm going to even say should, be quantified in your bonus structure. So, what do I mean by this? If you're going and you're planning for the year and you know where you're going to plan for your compensation, and let's say the practice grows 10%, well, you know what that means with all things being equal, with AR staying consistent to your traditional, management of AR. And so it would be very straightforward to say if we are within 5 to 10% growth, we will all have a really nice, we will have a dinner out at X, Y, or Z restaurant. You name them. If we're at, 10 to 15%, then we're going to do an overnight at so and so hotel. You see what I mean? So you know what the numbers are. So think about what it is ahead of time. And then again, when you come into the new year, there's no surprise, or come into the end of the year, excuse me, there's no surprises. Now, some people might call me crazy. However, what's the other option? The other option is to leave it open, to not be transparent, to leave it open to expectation versus knowing, oh my gosh, we hit 15% instead of, I'm going to be flippant here, instead of McDonald's, we get to go to the, fine dining restaurant in town. How cool is that? So, what are your thoughts on that? As crazy as that
I'm
sounds.
thinking from the staff's point of view, and you and I have both been staff. You were an assistant, I was an oral surgery assistant. I know how it is to walk in and think this doctor has all the money in the world.
Totally.
Why can't they buy my coffee? Why can't they take me out to dinner? Why can't they do this or that? And I'm thinking from the staff's point of view that if you were to do nothing,
Correct.
they're gonna say, gosh, he or she can't even take us out to dinner. Now,
Right.
they probably don't, or maybe they do, but they may not understand that that's a $500 meal, let's say,
Correct.
or more, right?
Right.
Depending
Or
on where you
more.
are. I've also had this happen to us before where we talked about doing a event, a dinner, or some type. And we had staff members say, can you just give us the money instead?
Absolutely. So I've heard that as well. And the way, honestly, the way I would approach that today would be great. I'm glad that, thank you for sharing that with me. I really appreciate the fact that you're comfortable sharing that with me. And our policy is we will be bonusing on the financial performance of the practice in combination with how we feel you are a team player. And if you choose not to join us for the additional celebration elements that are part of our compensation plan, that's great. However, it's not going to be transferred into money.
That was great. I love that.
It's like bam. But but I wonder though, Kyle, in that situation, I'm assuming rather that in this situation, it was a discussion you had in the month of December prior to actually
Totally.
go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See?
No, we didn't plan ahead. No.
Yeah. See,
No.
there's my point, right?
Yeah.
And so, what I would say then, so this is what is
I've
interesting.
made every mistake. Every mistake in dentistry I've made.
So this is what I find interesting because let's say, for example, you have that conversation in February. Then you can turn around and say exactly what I just said, and then flip it to, well, listen, if we grow to that next tier, then you are actually going to be taking more reward compensation home. So what ideas might you have to help us bring the practice to the next tier?
Well, I'll tell you, when all this bonus incentivizing people to do things in your practice, when we started getting into this, I remember the very first month where we set a goal that had a financial incentive for the team, meaning we hit X number, this person gets this much, this person gets. I can't remember if we did it all the same or if certain people got different ones. I can't remember. I have never seen the team work harder than in that month. We had hygienists that never got on the phone. We're calling people, trying to get them in. We had assistants walking people up to the front saying, let's get you scheduled for, to finish that other crown, that Dr. Stanley treatment plan. Let's do this. Let's do this. It was crazy. It was crazy. And so The thing I would like to talk about too is how do you structure these bonuses? Do you do a percentage of collections? Do you do a fixed fee? I know I've heard everything. I think the hard part is having everybody get different things because we know they talk. You can't actually, I heard someone recently say that you can't actually require p you can say like it's our policy to not talk about compensation plans, but I think at least in California there's something legal about
I believe that's correct,
you
yes.
can't actually do that.
Correct.
So that worries me because I know everybody talks.
So I would say a couple things. Yeah, it's all over the map, right? In terms of what people want to do. And the fact of the matter is that if you're a pretty large practice and you're giving a percentage, that could equal to some significant monies for individuals. While at the same time, what that also does is it doesn't force you to play around with the base compensation. So, because what you can end up, because there's all this talk about merit increase, sorry, let me start again. Many times there's discussions of merit increases and how to do those, et cetera, et cetera. And, I learned a lot of this from MTS Manji, who's very bright when it comes to this kind of stuff. And one of the things he said to me made
For
a
those
whole
that don't
heck.
know, MTS Manji ran Spear for a number of years.
Sorry. And he's a really brilliant guy. And one of the things he said really struck me, which was if you keep increasing someone's base, you're going to be somewhat quickly paying them way more than the market would bear. And then you're going to end up locking yourself into a corner. And then when you try to hire somebody else, that ends up, like you were talking about, people talking with this pay disparity, and you end up in a real pickle. So basically, if you think about it from an extreme, let's say the going rate for, a front office person is, I don't know, I'm making this up, is, $20 an hour. I know that's, potentially low depending on where you are, but let's just say it's that. And that person's been with you for, 30 years. And you're paying them $50 an hour. Now you're in a position where you could be screwed. And so you want to pay people well, you want to pay them fairly, and you can use the reward compensation as a lever in order to pay people commensurately. And if you do achieve certain gates or tiers, then you could also bring longevity into the discussion relative to giving them a kicker because they've been there 10 years, but you're still not necessarily over time significantly altering the base, which could cause a whole bunch of problems in and by itself.
I like what you're saying. Answer this question in a 1 to 3 word answer. Do you think, in your opinion, do you think that people should get the same thing no matter what their role is? Like, for let me give some examples. We've got a hygienist, we've got a front office, we have an office manager, and we have a dental assistant. Should their bonuses be the same
So
in dollar amount or percentage amount?
here's my personal biased opinion relative to that. These individuals are making different amounts to begin with as a base.
They have different bases, yes.
So therefore, even if they're getting the same reward-based compensation, they're still making different amounts of money at the end of the year. That's my
Yes.
personal bias. Right?
And so you're saying that's okay.
I believe it is. Yeah.
And so you think your thought would be give the same amount of bonuses
I
because
would say
base difference.
give this same amount up until certain longevity markers, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, et cetera. Then I think I would be rewarding loyalty based on longevity. So that would be the difference for me between team members. I've also heard it said, I think MT has said this as well, which is, listen, when individuals are claiming they should be paid more, I've actually heard other people say this too, not just him, relative to, If you want to make what a hygienist makes, go to hygiene school. If you want to make what a dentist makes, go to dental school. Now that sounds really nasty. And the truth of the matter is that there is a financial cost and time cost to become a hygienist, to become a registered dental assistant, to become an expanded function dental assistant, to become a general dentist, to become a periodontist. And so when I hear those kind of things, it makes me take a step back because I can't help myself and think, okay, why am I hearing this? Obviously, there's a disparity in this person's mind, but where is that coming from?
So as you're saying that, I am feeling the pressure, and I'm feeling if there's any dental assistants listening, because I've heard this a lot, and I've seen it on my comments on Instagram before as well, which is dental assistants feel underappreciated because, quote unquote, they don't bring in money. So you have the hygienists that produce money,
Correct.
right? They're
Correct.
bringing in collections.
Correct.
You have the front office or office manager who is booking and literally collecting money,
Yeah.
right? And then you have the dental assistants, which tend to be the least paid person, or the lowest
Yeah.
paid individual, and from what I've seen, tend to get less bonuses. However, I could argue that they're one of the most important people on the day-to-day workings of the practice, right? And so I could see how I can just hear them feeling underappreciated.
And look, dental assistants are critical. I was one for years. And so I very much understand what a dental assistant goes through. In fact, for any dental assistants listening, believe it or not, I had a dentist say to me once, you ready for this? Oh, yeah, well, you don't know any better anyway because you're too stupid and new. Yeah, I got told that. So, I feel that I can speak from a place of experience. And yes, dental assistants are incredibly important. And I think the question then becomes, how can I, as an assistant, continue to allow the practice to provide excellent and warranted needed care for our patients? And so I know that there are some clinicians out there that also have ancillary items that they offer to their patients, electric toothbrushes, bleaching treatments, and other types of treatments that are needed and warranted. There are some practices that offer the team members certain reward compensation based upon numbers of whitening trays. I'm going to use the word sold, number of toothbrushes sold, things of that nature. And so I do believe that there are other ways that are ethical, that are warranted, that have gates associated with them. Like, for example, an assistant mentions whitening to a patient with significant periodontal disease, and they're not a candidate for that at this moment. We ain't going to do that, right? So there's some natural gates I want to be clear that are in my mind that I may not have spoken. And so I believe that there are ways to address an assistant feeling appreciated and bring them into part of the process. And that could also even include being and I mean this for everybody, not just assistants, being a holistic member of the team. We all have access to our practice management system. What happens if a patient slips through the crack and all of a sudden they have an appointment that day and they owe the practice $5,000? And so if their bonus based upon collection, as an example, and they bring that to somebody's attention, because look, we're all human and things get missed, then that ends up affording them greater levels of compensation. It's kind of why my personal bias is to level out the reward-based compensation based upon performance of the practice and then personal how you personally interact with everybody on the team.
I really love that because it's just like you're saying. If you're, let's say you're front office, you're the office manager, and you've collected well and you've done all this stuff, but you're just rude to people and you are just mean and you ruin people's day. Like, yes, the business did well, but you shouldn't be incentivized to be that person.
No, and trust me when I tell you, because I've been on both, fortunately, I've never been docked for the subjective stuff in my life, but I could tell you, I've been on the side of the leader having to look somebody in the face and say, listen, I have some concerns about how well you play in the sandbox. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, then you got to be specific, folks. It can't just be, I think you come in with a bad attitude. It's got to be demonstrative. It's, you came in the other day and so and so said this and you said that. Like it's, I
Facts.
often say, like when we teach Crucial Conversations in Lightside Live, now I kind of do this as cutting it off at the pass, because it used to always come up. Because people would say, well, how do you deal with subjective stuff? And you know that question? And
Yeah,
so
we get it every time.
we get it every time. So I try to cut it off at the pass. Subjective things can be described objectively. So, if an individual rolls their eyes, you say they rolled their eyes. If an
Yeah.
individual makes a sound like, huh, every time you talk about vacation schedules, then you say you make a noise. I don't suggest you mimic them, but you make a noise. If they ask you, what's that noise? Well, then they asked you. But the
Yeah.
point is that behavioral, behavioral actions can be described in objective terms or descriptive terms. How about that?
Yeah, I was thinking as you were talking, some examples that I've heard of bonus structures. So I know one person, and he, I think he only has his office manager, which has a monthly bonus, and her monthly bonus I think is 0.1%. If I believe
Okay.
that works out right. So if they're producing 100,000 a month, she gets $1,000. Sorry, if they're collecting 100,000 a month,
Correct.
then she would get $1,000.
Yeah.
And I think that's a nice way of doing that. Now, there's also ways of spreading that out within the group.
Yeah.
So let's say you're a small practice, you have five employees, right? And you could say that, we're going to split X amount percent of our monthly collections between everybody. So everybody gets this much, everyone gets $250, which, shoot, I mean, like, we dentists make good money, but I'd rather have an extra $250,
Absolutely.
right? I think this makes sense. I wanted to ask you too, because we mentioned it, but I just want to be very particular with this question. Let's say you've had team members for 5 years. You're doing quarterly reports. You're doing maybe even monthly reports. They know what they're getting. Now we're in June and you have a new team member. Would you just sit down, explain what the bonus structure is at that time, so at the time of hiring, and then just keep them on the normal cadence that everyone else is on?
Ah, that's a really great question. So first of all, check your local laws. Second of all, I would say that, again, personal bias from what I've seen, because for those listening, I've coached thousands of dentists. Given the fact that the compensation in the way we've been discussing is majoritively based on practice performance and minoritively based on personal teamwork, then I would actually bonus the minority part within that first quarter, and then start the majority part that's based upon total practice performance once that individual has been there long enough, aka a quarter or a month, however you've structured it, so that they're actually being rewarded on things that they had a part in.
Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I like that thing. I like, as you were saying that, I was thinking of this kind of like 90-day, what is it called?
Almost. Yeah, it's like 90-day benchmarking in a way.
Like a 90-day, not purgatory. It's another P word. Not
probation,
probation. Yeah, I was like,
purgatory. That was good.
purgatory, promotional. No, probation period. Yeah, because that makes sense, right? I don't want to give you a bonus for this first month.
No,
You're just learning. I'm paying you to learn, basically, right?
but you are for their attitude and how they're
That's
being a
true.
team member. So,
Yeah, that's
which is
true.
again, for me, why that's so important,
Yeah.
I was gonna say something else that came to me twice. It'll come back to me, but it had to do with I don't remember now. It'll come back, I'm sure. But
Okay, so we've talked about being very upfront when you hire somebody and reminding current employees about what it is. I love that they should almost be able to come to you at the end of the year and say,
That's what I remember.
this is what I'm expecting, right? Because this is what we talked about 4 to 12 times this last year.
So
And they know your businesses. Sorry, go ahead before you forget.
before I forget, for the third, literally, I'm not kidding, for the third time. we had this at Spear, and I've seen this in other companies and other practices, and I think that this is a very wise way to go. Please don't make this a use a make it or break it kind of thing. What I mean by that is, if you, because we all know how practice collection and well, production and collection can go up and down. If you're doing it per month, for example, and you miss a month, please don't make that the only opportunity to gain that bonus. So if you miss a month, but at the end of the quarter, you've met your overarching quarter goals, then
Oh,
they
I see
get
what you're
their
saying.
bonus. If you're doing it quarterly and you know what, the bed in, let's say, Q3, because that's over the summer, but then in Q4, you kill it and you hit your yearly goal, then please compensate them for that, because this make it or your break it can really be very demotivating for people.
Yeah, it's I almost think of like use it or lose it kind of thing. Right.
And if the money's there, the money's there. So, for the leaders out there, they're like, oh, well, we didn't make it. It's like, no, yes, you did. You just did it in a different time frame. That's why, honestly, planning is so critical, because you should be an understanding of what it is. Now, one thing we didn't talk about was that, let's say you've been in practice for, a number of years, and let's say you have, I would hope, a good understanding of the percentage of your supplies expenditure.
Okay.
That can also be part of the equation, could it not? Relative to, because some practices not only have certain team members that are in charge of ordering, every team member uses materials. And so, let's say you have an associate dentist that always dispenses too much bonding agent, which is incredibly expensive, or an assistant that does that, or a hygienist that, wastes, who knows, whatever, topical fluoride,
Yeah,
whatever.
right.
It creates a responsibility for everybody to use the amount that's needed without being flippant on, oh, we'll just get more, right? Now, in these days of inflation, we have to be a little careful. We would have to adjust that for inflation, of course. But I also think that it's something that warrants discussion, because if we want to bonus individuals on practice performance, then practice performance is not only the amount of care that we're being compensated for, but it's also the cost of the provision of care that we have been responsible for.
That's
You
right.
can't extract one from the other, to use a purposeful pun.
Let me ask you this, from the subjective side and the objective side of the bonus structure that you're talking about. So objective, our goal was $1 million in production. We did 1 million, so we hit that. Subjective, how nice are you? Are you showing up on time? How's your attitude? Are you clean when you come in? Do you, whatever. What percentages should those be of the total? Should it be 50-50? Should it be,
No.
what is your
It should
thought?
not be 50-50, because the The objective part is what's putting the money in the bank to pay the subjective part to begin with.
So you think the
So,
objective part should be less?
no, more. No, more.
More.
More. 100% more.
Okay.
So, I think.
I mean, let's give an example. Like, throw out numbers, throw out
Yeah.
percentages, give
So,
something.
I would say three quarter, one quarter. So, of the total bonus, three quarters of the total bonus should be based upon practice performance. One quarter should be based on subjective performance or employee performance.
And so, okay, so I want to give some numbers just for people that are listening. Let's say you say, if we hit this number, everybody gets $1,000, okay, just based on the money. And then on the subjective part, would you make tiers? Like, let's say tier five, you get an extra 500. Tier four, you get an extra 400. Tier three, you get an extra 200. Tier one, down to zero.
No,
How
I
would you?
would actually make it a percentage of the whole. So if you
So,
hit a
give me an example with
million,
numbers.
So if you hit a million and then therefore everybody is eligible for 1,000, that means everybody gets 750, but that extra 250 is up for grabs. And if you're not following protocol, if once a week you've forgot to check in or out the lab cases as an example, and because of that we had a couple missed appointments and some angry patients, like, that stuff's important, right? So the acronym that Spear used, and this was not unique to Spear, it's called STRIVE, and it's an acronym. And so there's, again, please seek out HR counsel on this. As I've said in previous episodes, remember, folks, let's stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Let's stop trying to pretend that we're unique. We're not. When we're at our chair and our patients' mouths are open, we're unique, and every other time we're not. And so there's lots of compensation systems out there that you can literally plug and play from other industries, from other professions, et cetera. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. So seek the appropriate counsel and advice from a company like Ben Erickson, from a company like Kane Waters, all those kind of companies.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. As you're saying that 25% that is subjective, I want to remind everybody listening that we need to have that in writing.
Amen.
And this is a challenge because you're busy, you're working on patients, and Johnny forgets to check in the lab case. And so we think it's not here. And then we call and we reschedule the patient because it's not here. And then we call the lab and say, "You never sent the lab case." He says, "Yeah, we sent it." And then three people are looking for it. And I know everybody's gone through this. And at that time, you're stressed, you're busy, you're working on patients, you want to go home. But we have to remember the importance of documentation.
Oh, hell
Just
yes.
like how at the end of the day, you are stressed, want to go home as well from clinical. You still need to write your clinical notes because they're not going to be as good if you write them a week later or a day later or
Correct,
sometimes
correct,
even an
correct,
hour later.
correct.
And that I think is where a lot of people get in trouble. I know that was where I got in trouble, was that we had conversations with people, we didn't write it down, and it came back to bite us. Really, it came back to bite us legally, actually. So I just want to remind everybody, it's like if it wasn't documented, it didn't happen. And for you to come to somebody in December and to say, "Listen, we hit the goals, assisting wise, you were a great dental assistant this last year. However, we had a lot of complaints about you. We know you were late." And they said, "Well, when was I late?" And you say, "Well, you were, I mean, you were late, right?" "Well, no, when was I late?" You need to say, "March 3rd, you were 9 minutes late. March 24th, you were 24 minutes late. May 2nd, you were 9 minutes late." And then it's like, "Oh, okay."
And you bring up an important point, which I was going to say this, and thank you for helping me make this even more clear. I don't think either one of us are saying we're walking around with a clipboard looking for infractions, right? And in the case of being late, for most of us, we have, part of our DPMS system that's really easy to pull a report, right? And so one of my first mentors in leadership said to me, and I love this so much, A review should never be a surprise. And so, what you were talking about for me was that A, we need to be meeting with our team at least quarterly, and B, we need to be sharing these things quarterly so that they are aware of the things that are not going well. Because I'm going to say, I know neither of us, and please agree with me or not, neither one of us are saying that if somebody forgets to do something once, we're going to dock them. That's not what this is about.
No.
This is about patterns of behavior that aren't supporting the ability for us to provide extraordinary care. That's what this is about, right?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's the same thing when you think of patients that no-show,
Yeah.
right? The first patient no-show, I
Yeah.
recommend not charging them,
Yep.
but they should know before, they should be
Yep.
reminded in all of their text reminders that there is a no-show fee.
Yep.
And the first time, I would recommend waiving it. But after that, it should never be waived.
Totally. And you know, the part of that subjective stuff often is responsibility, right? And so I've had some of my clients that have had quite a number of challenges where, you know, if everybody's responsible, nobody's responsible. And so something happens, they're in a team meeting and they're like, how did this happen? Everyone goes, I don't know. Well, so in that kind of situation, you know, somebody's responsible. So, you know, in what we're kind of talking about, if that was a recurring theme versus a one-off, then that would end up affecting everybody. And the contrast to that would be this. Let's say you had the exact same situation. Something didn't happen. You're like, what the heck, everybody? What happened? And you have one person that was like, you know what? I don't know how it happened. However, I'm going to make sure that this doesn't happen again. I'd like to, you know, think about this for a day and come up with a different protocol or reminder or checklist or magnet on the door to remind us to shut the nitrous off. Right? And so this isn't about looking for missteps. This is also about looking for initiative, looking for ownership, looking for, you know, buy-in. It's, you know, I don't want this to come off as some kind of punitive concept. This is as much about a celebratory concept as it is a punitive concept,
I
period.
love that. I love it. I'm writing things down because I want to try to summarize what we've talked about.
This has been a fun one. It's and you know it can go all over the map and that's okay.
Yeah.
And you know, it's whatever ideas you have, if you're listening, write them all down, think about them, sketch out something, seek out those people that can give you good experienced legal counsel, whether that's HR or legal or accounting or all the above, and come up with something that's going to work for your own practice. You know,
Yeah,
it's
so this is what I wrote down.
Yeah.
And let me know if there's anything I'm missing in this summary of what we talked about with bonus structure in the dental office is set early expectations.
Yep.
No bonus should be a surprise.
Nope.
Have regular review. So meet with your team at least quarterly, individually, and as high as weekly if you have the time. 75% of it based on collection goals of the business. The other 25% is based on merit, personal goals, how they are a team member, things that are a little more subjective. But even that subjectivity could come with facts.
Needs to come with facts.
Yes, yes. So document problems, document positive things as well. The larger goal should take the precedence. So that's, if you didn't hit the monthly, but you hit the quarterly, they should still get it. And lastly, this should be celebratory as much as it is punitive.
Amen. Love that. That was great.
I learned so much on this today. I feel like it helped me really organize my thoughts around this. And it's nice to bring, it's just like anything in dentistry. It's nice to bring, it's exactly what you say. It's nice to bring things from outside of dentistry into dentistry and make them, mold them to work for us. And
Totally.
that's kind of what you did through your experience with Spear. And I know what we've done, like at Pearl and from other companies that I've worked with. Even their dental companies, they're ran like traditional businesses, right?
Yeah.
It's they're not run like a dental office.
No.
And so there's so it's exactly what you say, how we're not unique once we're not working on patients. Everything
Yeah.
else is just a
Yeah.
business.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Well, if this really helped you guys and you know a colleague that was stressing out about figuring out bonuses, send this to them now, especially if it's early in the year, so that they can start talking about it now and not have all the stress around the holidays. We would love if you liked this, if you could write us a written review. So just go to Apple Podcasts, write a written review, and we would love to hear from you. And if you want to spend 2 days with us, go deeper into all these topics, make sure to go to wellnessanddentistry.com, click on our links, and you can sign up for Lightside Live, our 2-day transformational 12 CE program on May 9th and 10th in Irvine, California at Glidewell Dental Lab. Thanks for listening to Wellness and Dentistry, and we'll see you on the next episode.
See you later.